gather round, it's time for the big ten. Hold down, kick out your heels, jump up and down, shut your eyes and whirl around. Reach out your hand, and if no one's there, grab your own hand, dance round in a square.
When you're doing the big ten, hold down, gotta have a collar you can trust.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, yeah.
Call your friends. Call your wife. It's pig pen time. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Danny.
Should fax your wife.
Beep your wife.
Well, it's good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
And if you were listening at the beginning of the show, I did not go to Bermuda for 12 days.
Yeah.
Which was, I think, about how long I've been gone.
It's been a while.
Your last day was...
the Friday before last weekend.
Yeah, two Fridays ago.
Yes.
We just thought you had March Madness really bad.
It is a madness. I did not have March Madness. In fact, during the time away, I only got to see one college basketball game in the tournament. And, of course, it was the Texas ACU game.
Oh, okay.
Which was phenomenal, by the way. But we're not here to talk sports. Now,
no.
Corby, I'd almost prefer if you would kind of guide this first segment.
Okay.
If you would.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. First off, let me reiterate, this is April 1st, but this is not an April Fool's prank. Because
no,
I think a lot of people will believe that this is.
We wouldn't spend three segments, which this likely could go,
yeah,
on an April's Fool prank.
Yes.
But I will just say this. I was not gone for vacation. People were reaching out to me wondering if my back had gone out again and if I was having some medical issues. Not the case at all. I disappeared for 8 working days and 2 weekends because, we'll go ahead and say this now, I was on paternity leave.
Oh, ho, ho, ho!
Whoa! Oh.
Now, this has been a pretty well-veiled secret.
Breaking news, Sounder.
Something that me and my partner... my girlfriend moved in with me last year in the spring or summer. And what do? When you're holed up in the house all the time, mm-hmm, with COVID, you can't go do anything. All
you're
the regular,
just doing it, man.
You're just smashing 24 hours a day.
Smash!
I don't know how we got enough sleep to have the energy to smash. But we found out that we were going to bring a little one into the world in March. We found out last year in the summer, and this is where I kind of want you,
okay,
to kind of take over for a little bit to find out what your perspective is and how it kind of,
yeah,
all played out up here with you personally, and as long as you and I have been friends for over 20 years.
Yeah. So before
how much of a surprise this had to have been, not for me, but for you.
Before I completely kick you in the nuts as,
yes,
old dad, which is coming, so the phone call was sometime over Christmas break, was it not?
I believe so.
Yeah. And, you know, whatever, just shooting the bull, and you're like, you want to hear something? And I'm like, yeah, I guess so. And there's like this long pause. And I asked you, I was like, do you have COVID? I thought you were going to tell me for sure. I mean, dude, where, I mean, it's just,
yeah,
you sick, you know, you have COVID, and you go... No. And I knew right then. I knew.
Like your gut told you?
For sure,
right,
what was coming next.
Yeah.
And it was, dude, we're having a baby. And I was like, oh my God. Now, and there was a pause too of at least like 3 seconds of like, oh, for me to process it.
Yeah.
Like, Danny is having a baby?
Me.
Danny is having a baby. Danny's got a 20 or a 30-year-old.
28.
28-year-old. You,
yeah,
can't have a baby.
That's the best.
Yeah, you can.
It's impossible for you to have a baby.
You sure can,
babies,
Corby,
are babies. You're not. You're too old to have a baby. All these things are running through my mind, and then I'm finally like, oh, well, congratulations.
Now, you always had the running joke when,
oh,
Mike, when Mike was on the show, because Mike and I were two of the three on this show. I'm not sure about Ty, but obviously not Ty. Maybe now Ty's tied, but Mike and I had never gotten vasectomies.
for years. I mean, for years. And I got snipped after Van was born back in 2009 or 10 or something like whatever year he was born. 2009. And I got snipped pretty soon after that, maybe a year after that. And so, you know, afterwards we're talking about it, and I was like, wait, Mike, you're snipped, right?
No.
Yep.
I'm not. And I'm like, you're like 65 and you're not snipped, and can you imagine what would happen?
I can kind of imagine.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, Danny, are you? And you're like, no. I'm like, dude, you're going to have a kid someday. No, I'm not. No, no, no. Careful. La, 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 la. I'm like, one of y'all's going to have a kid someday. And so anytime it was brought up, I'd always kick y'all in the nuts being like, one of these days I'm going to get that phone call at 2 in the morning.
It wasn't 2 in the morning. It was at night, though.
Right. But it was always, it always involved knocking up a Tridelt from SMU. That was always a scenario. Cobra, it happened, man.
You're not going to believe this.
She's pregnant. So, yeah, I mean, that was the running gag. Of course, I never thought it was going to happen. And then I told my wife, I'm like, you know, hang up the phone, and I'm like, oh my God.
You're probably shaking.
Danny's having a freaking baby. And I'm like, Julie, get in here. I go, something is going on with Danny. What do you think it is? And she's like, he has COVID. And I go, no. And she goes, holy ass, he's having a baby. So for you,
yeah,
like when you guys found out, you and Audrey, were you like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was, she was like a day late, and she's one of those girls, and you've known these girls, they're always to the minute on time.
Yeah.
And she was like one day, maybe a day and a half late, and we were supposed to go to dinner, it was a Sunday, and she goes, hey, I know you're supposed to pick me up, can I just come over there? I was like, yeah. She still lived at her place, I lived at mine at the time, and she walked through the door, and I just looked right at her, and I go, you're pregnant, aren't you? And she said, yeah. And she tells me that my response was two words, oh boy.
Are you pregnant or just fat?
That wasn't his reaction, Milo.
No, it wasn't.
You know what, though?
It was, oh boy.
I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter if you're 22, if you're 32, 42, 52. 52, whatever it is, the guy reaction.
Yeah.
It's so, it's key. Because you could screw this up.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And I think no matter
but
what.
But it's involuntary.
No matter it what, is. It's you're. I feel this way, at least, that you're kind of in shock. Even if you're trying.
100%.
Whatever. It's like, no, I.
Great.
Yeah, right.
My favorite.
Oh, you're not happy?
And it always happens in the movies. And the guy, the worst response that a guy can make in that time is, you sure it's mine? They always do that.
Right. Yeah, don't do that one.
Right. No, I was able to refrain from, are you sure it's mine?
Oh, God. But you run the scenarios through your head of,
yeah,
how did this happen and all of it, you know?
And it's funny because we had already planned to move in together because we lived super close anyway, like in October. So we just like bumped it up, I think, 4 or 6 weeks and then just started making plans to do the classes and make the plan to how she wanted to have this birth go down. And she's, man, to her credit, she's a tough chick because her intentions were to do this all natural. That was our plan. We set up with a midwife with this wonderful facility called Origins over on Swiss Avenue near downtown. And they're phenomenal. But you know what a natural birth is. You're giving birth in a tub. There's no epidural. There's no Pitocin to get contractions going.
Dude.
You feel it all.
Okay, why did she make this decision? It's just kind of in her DNA.
Like, it's her DNA. It's what she's always wanted to do. She's wanted to have a kid her whole life, her whole adult life.
Yeah.
And it just never really came about that way.
Right.
And it got to the point where she didn't think that she was even capable.
Yeah.
You know?
So it was a surprise to her, the pregnancy and everything.
She was pretty surprised because she didn't think that this was a real 100% possibility. So we start making plans. We're going to do this thing all natural in the tub and learning so much about the natural childbirth process, which I, man, after learning a lot about how the big industry of giving birth in hospitals is, and granted, hey, look, midwives get paid too.
Sure.
They're not doing this. It's not an altruistic venture
right,
for them.
Right.
It is significantly cheaper than it is to go to a hospital. But once you kind of learn about how, like, certain doctors will schedule their vacations around their patients and say, hey, why don't you come in on Saturday? We'll go ahead and do that C-section because I got to travel to, you know, to Cabo next weekend for a golf trip or that next day for a golf trip with my buddies.
Yeah.
They'll kind of plan it that way. And it is big business, but I really fell in love with the process and the way we were, you know, had that we had planned on doing this.
So you went to actual classes for that?
We took them online. Yeah, because of COVID, you couldn't meet in person to do that.
I wouldn't know a single thing.
Do you remember going to classes just for whatever hospital? I mean, I did that. We went to classes for hospital childbirth, you know, and it was a beating, and I'm looking at my phone and checking master scores, yeah. And I was like, yeah, 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 kid, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think I went to classes.
Did you, Ty?
Yeah, we went to class hospital. You got to see the room. Then you did some breathing exercises.
Yeah, the breathing stuff.
This is so much more than that because the woman is feeling every ounce of every contraction the entire time. And the dad is, and look, I will never even begin or even consider comparing my experience to hers because you can't. But the dad is involved a lot. For each contraction, you are part of the entire situation as support, and a lot of it is physical. You're having to do certain pressure point things, which takes it's a lot of arm strength, and when you're doing it over and over and over and over over a typical labor time, which is like 18 to 24 hours for first-time moms, you're not in the waiting room, you know, handing out cigars or smoking cigs.
Filming it with the VTR.
No. You're not doing any of that. It's an entirely different process. And this facility is amazing. It's one of those old two-story homes that were built probably in the late 1800s that are over on that row of Swiss Avenue. And you've got a bedroom, and then there's a huge circular bathtub and a private bathroom for them, and it's the labor room. It's where this goes down.
Oh, okay. For some reason,
you're not doing it. Wasn't a home birth.
Okay, I guess that's what I must have thought, that it's in any garden variety bathtub. You're saying
specifically designed for this?
Yes, specifically designed.
Oh,
it's a birth center. It's
okay,
all natural birth center.
Does it look like a hot tub?
It's a big old round tub that two or three people could get in.
So, like, was there ever a point where you just kind of
hop in,
put your bathing suit on, and jumped in, just sat there and with a drink, you know?
Well, when it came time for us to go there, yes, the bathing suit was in my backpack.
Really? Because you have to get in.
You want to get in.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be in there to grab the baby or to be, you know, whatever position she wants to give birth.
Yeah.
And that's another thing.
Danny's doing, like, crunches to get ready.
Yeah, because for the photos. Don't want to have a beer gut.
If I may interject.
Please. Trust me, I would have worn a t-shirt, bro. Go ahead.
If I may interject, you do want to be in the middle of all that, huh?
Hell yeah. Yeah, you do.
I think once you're involved, especially if the
I'm
woman...
I'm not sure I'm up for
Well, think
that.
Of it this
I'm
way.
All
if
about
Sally
it.
Would have said, this is the route I'm taking.
Mm-hmm.
If whoever, your girlfriend or your wife, says that this is the what I want to do, you're going to support her. You know why?
No. Full support.
But you know what I'm saying, though?
You just don't need me fainting right next to you while it's going on.
I think, though, that you're like, because we do so little.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We do
the least amount possible.
We roll around on you for like 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If
they're lucky.
I love you. And that's it. That's all you do. Yeah. You're done.
And then saunter off to the refrigerator.
Right? Are we out of Cheez-Its?
But that's the one thing about the natural childbirth is you kind of get to choose what position you want to give the baby in. It's not just feet in stirrups, doctor down there, and husband either in the waiting room or next to the partner's, you know, head, kind of going, you got this, babe. No, you're working, and you are also, like I said, the woman can be in any position that she is comfortable. And I watched so many freaking birth videos leading up to this. I saw all kinds of stuff.
Were they on YouTube?
No. They're part of this class that you take online. And it's like, now let's stop down to watch, you know, Gene being born and some guys in some apartment in Brooklyn, New York with some camcorder.
I'm going to COVID opt out of that.
We saw tons of these, man.
That video, I think.
So we are nearing time. Now, the funny thing is when we first found out we were pregnant, we went to one of those places to get the real test. But we didn't really want to spend a lot of money. So we went to this place. It was called Prestonwood Pregnancy Center. And we found out once we got there what it was all about. And God bless them. They were the sweetest people in the world, but they treated us like we were 17. Because they were like, yes, we want to make sure you find out you're pregnant, and then we want to get you guys in separate rooms and let you know how important it is to make sure you bring this baby into the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
You know what? We got the test done for free and the follow-up sonogram and everything, and they were super, super nice and pretty spot on predicting the due date.
Really?
Yeah. They
wow.
got it. They got it more right than anybody other than my girlfriend's mother. So, you know, we're kind of knowing that we're getting close to that due date. And this is last Saturday, of not this most recent weekend, but the past Saturday.
And by the way,
we know we're close.
Yeah, and over the last couple of weeks, prior to you leaving, I mean,
we were overdue. Where yeah. They had to recalculate our due date because they kind of got it wrong once she yeah. got into the program with the birthing center. And they were like, yeah, I think maybe we miscalculated it. And so they pushed it back a couple of weeks. As I was thinking, I was going to be gone. I thought this was going to be already done 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. So we're knowing that this is kind of happening. But she feels great. You know, I feel great. She's one of those gals that stayed in perfect shape. She looked just as thin as she always was with just a belly, you know. So we're out on Saturday. This is what our Saturday was before she went into labor was we went and walked around Farmer's Market all afternoon, had lunch there, and came back to the house, and I planted a tree in the front yard.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
a nice Japanese maple in the front yard.
Oh, those are beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. And so we go to bed that night, and we stayed up late watching a movie, just, you know, hanging out, and fall asleep around 2, and about 3 in the morning, she wakes up and looks over at me and she goes, my water just broke. At 3 in the morning on Sunday morning, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning at 3 a.m. And I'm going to tell you next about what transpired over the next X amount of hours.
Oh, boy. Very much.
Young, Ham.
Yes, young Ham.
Thanks, Ham.
We are in the middle of Danny telling us a story that is rather significant because Danny had a baby.
Not me specifically.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yes.
Not too terribly long ago.
Beautiful girlfriend Audrey delivered our beautiful baby just a couple, 3 days ago, or I guess it was last Wednesday. I'm so out of
time,
space. You don't even look like you anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I've got a really funny...
Who are you?
A funny side note to tell you of a sleep deprivation Danny-ism that I had
God.
That was reiterated back to me. So here we are in the labor process. It is 3 in the morning last Sunday, not the most recent Sunday, but a week ago Sunday, 3 a.m., I awake to Audrey telling me that her water broke.
Okay.
And this also comes with some contractions. And we'd always wondered, you know, it's like, I would ask her, do you know what does a contraction feel like? Is it like a cramp that you get in your leg? She's like, I don't know. I've never had them. And she'd ask people and they're like, look, you know it when you know it.
Right.
And that's what she said. She goes, I'm having contractions. I go, how do you know they're not Braxton Hicks, the little kind of ones,
fakers
that prepare you for what they feel like? She goes, these are rhythmical. They're intense. But they weren't like super intense. They weren't as bad that she couldn't kind of fall back into some semblance of sleep and finish the night out to get a little bit of rest for the next day. So we wake up the next day around probably 9, and this is Sunday, midday, and about 11 o'clock is when they start kicking in. So here we are about 8 hours later. The contractions are kicking in. They're becoming more consistent on how far apart they are, around 7, 8, 10 minutes apart. And what they tell you at the birth center, it's like, look, we want you to labor at home. You're going to be more comfortable there. When your contractions get to be about 3 to 4 minutes apart and they are lasting about a minute long, each contraction, mm-hmm. and that goes on for an hour, that's when we want you to come in. They call it the 3-1-1 or 4-1-1 premise theory, that's when they want to see you. Then they can start getting ready for, I guess they call it active labor to transition. So we end up going about our day on Sunday. We had some things that we still needed to pick up to take to the birthing center, and we go to Whole Foods. She's like, I want to go in. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You please just stay in the car and just
did you think for a second that there could be a car baby when you came out?
No, I didn't think that she was going to progress that quickly in the 17 minutes, or not even that long, that I was in the store. We went to Firehouse Subs and saw Dr. Sorensen and had a sandwich together.
Delicious.
It was so good.
Captain Sorensen here.
So we kind of spent Sunday, you know, just kind of doing normal stuff. And every 10 minutes or so, she'd have to stop and kind of get her breath. And I'd have to apply pressure to her lower back or let her lean on me or whatever she needed to do to kind of get through that contraction. But they weren't that long, you know, 30 seconds, 40, sometimes shorter, 15. But as the night, you know, continued, they started getting more and more and more intense. So here we are, Sunday night, and from about 7 o'clock until 3 o'clock in the morning, from what I understand, she is in hard labor.
Yeah.
And it's happening. And it is painful.
Oh.
It is painful to see.
Oh.
She's not on any medication at all. And we are, you know, getting up and down, trying different positions on the, as far as her laying sideways, on her hands and knees, leaning against me, leaning against the table, on the big exercise ball, which they're way into. They want you to do that thing to keep things moving. And I'll be damned if at 3 o'clock in the morning, we are at that 411 period. So here we are 24 hours later, which typically, in labor, first-time mom is going to probably have had the baby by then. So we're thinking we're running a little bit long. It's fine. We call the midwife. And she says, okay, it sounds like you guys are progressing. Let's come on in. So we load up the car. I load up the car. Put everything in there. I mean, it's like 4 bags of stuff. It looked like we're going away
right
to Puerto Vallarta for
yeah.
a week. I've got a cooler with ice in it, drinks, you know, snacks yeah. and all this stuff.
Now, did you do what I told you to do? Because what I did, of course, when I had my first kid, was I brought in VHS tapes because the doctor told me I could watch movies.
Yeah.
And so as my wife is going into hardcore labor, I popped in Dazed and Confused.
Good
to
call.
Which she responded as she looked up at the TV, get the F out of here and go get my mom.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, none of the conversations, as I recall, were overly pleasant because they don't have time for your jokes at that point.
Yeah.
They're not having the time of their life.
That
you
is,
don't really know what to say.
That is one thing you learn by doing the classes and the videos. It's like, because I kind of knew where this was going, you know? And they say it's a certain point when the mom starts going into the contractions where she's no longer talking, where she's completely in the zone and focused. Number one, leave her alone. Number two, this is not the time for comedy. There were contractions that were going on.
I learned that the hard way.
I didn't go to that class.
Was joking with me.
Yeah.
While we were laboring early in the evening together, she was, and I was there. I can keep saying we. I felt like such a part of it. You know, I'm going to include screw it. I'm including myself in this. We're watching the show on Fox called The Mick with the chick from Always Sunny. Really funny.
Yeah.
20 minutes long. So you can kind of make it through a lot of those. And she's laughing. We move into the bedroom to kind of, you know, change venues and for her to be able to have more space on the bed to move around. And at one point she goes, turn that TV off. Turn it off.
She's done.
She's done
yeah.
with any outside distractions. These are so intense that I'm in the zone.
This makes my everything hurt.
Yeah, I agree.
So, like I said, at 3 o'clock in the morning, 24 hours after she started, after her water broke and she started labor, we call. The midwife says, come on in. We're gonna get you in here and we're gonna get her examined and everything. And I think we might be ready to go.
Pick up some chicken on the way in.
Yeah, absolutely. So we show up and we go in and our midwife, by the way, we dealt with a lot of midwives throughout this process as far as checkups and stuff. We end up with one of my favorites was this gal named Laquita, and she checked Audrey and said, and looked up at her and she goes, baby, you're only 3 centimeters.
So what does she need?
10.
Oh.
We are laboring hardcore with 311 contractions for 24 hours, and she's not even a third of the way to where her cervix needs to be opened up to deliver this baby.
I have a question.
Yes.
Because, again, I'm coming from a place of ignorance. If you do the midwife thing,
mm-hmm.
is it 100% homogenized to the point where nobody takes any drugs?
It's nothing.
I know, but like, nobody. Anybody that goes into a midwife, they're not taking drugs? To help ease the pain?
No, there's no pain relief.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, geez,
it's mind over matter at that point.
Ugh.
So she looks up and she tells Audrey that, sweetie, you're only at 3 centimeters. And what do? We go home. We get sent home because that's what they want. Because at this point, they don't know how long this is going to go. And they may have another mother that comes in that is ready to give birth, and we're taking up the room. Because they do probably, 20 or 30 of these a month. So we truck it back to the house, and we get back home, and she's so dejected, and I felt so bad for her that she thought that she was ready to have this baby, that she was able to go to sleep, and her contractions kind of went back to being 10 minutes apart.
Wow.
Like, she kind of was so bummed out that her labor dissipated, and she was able to sleep for a few hours that night.
I guess I will never know the answer to this, but something that intense, how can you sleep through it? That's I guess it just comes and goes.
It's one of those things that, I think in a parallel way, I experienced this when going through back surgery, and the pain that I had leading up to it is the pain, and they always have this diagram, what's your pain level, 1 out of 10,
right.
10 being the worst. And there were times where I know for a fact that I was 10 out of 10, for good amounts of time, to where your body just says, I'm going to shut you down and let you sleep for an hour, so you're not going to feel anything.
Yeah.
You're just going to sleep. It's like almost like your body is making yourself rest. Otherwise, you're going to die.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
You're just going to die or want to kill yourself.
Poor
so
girl.
That's where we're at. We're headed back home. She's able to sleep a little bit. But we wake up that Monday morning, and the contractions start again, and we're getting back up to that place. At this point, we call Origins, the birthing center, and they said, look, you come in now. We end up going in there at noon, and they told us, we're having this baby, and I'm going to tell you what she had to go through to get this baby out next.
52 here on the Hardline. Community Quick Hits coming up here in just a bit. Sturm Center, we'll follow that, but we are in the middle of a new addition to the world of the ticket, because Danny and his girlfriend have had a baby. He's in the middle of telling the story as we are on day 2 of serious contractions.
Yes, we are in, at this point, we are in our probably 38
of water breaking,
since water broke and contractions.
And do they
start.
Tell you, is there a certain time frame? Because we're all, we're playing amateur doctor up here of how long are you supposed to wait to get the baby out after the water breaks?
Okay, we're going to get to all of that.
Okay,
so here we are on Monday, and I'm thinking, gosh, this baby's going to be born the day before my birthday, my birthday was March 23rd. Last Tuesday. So we get sent home the night before. We wake up the next morning and we're on the phone with the birth center, and the midwife says, look, why don't you go ahead and come in? We'll get you in here around noon and we'll start doing some measures to get that baby out of here.
Yeah.
They call it like it's a natural induction. And what that involves is taking certain supplements. I can't remember off the top of my head what they were, but they were things that were to help kind of open things up, get that cervix opened up to where the baby can fit through. And that also involves work, exercise. They had that poor girl outdoors walking up and down the street doing curb walks. That's where you walk parallel with the curb, and your left foot goes up on the curb and your right foot is on the street.
Oh my
up
God,
and
dude.
Down, up and down, and then turn around and do it again. They had us doing that for 30 minutes. They had her doing like this weird ball exercise where her legs draped over this, and she's having to do all this crazy stuff to get things naturally moving down there. They had us doing things that I can't mention on the air. I'm not kidding.
Ew.
So at this point, we are there at the birthing center. They said, look, why don't you go for a walk? It'll be good. Maybe you can go grab something to eat.
Yeah.
So we walk, we're out walking, and she's having to stop every 6 minutes to have a contraction in public in near downtown Dallas. So we walk over to
Captain Sorensen here.
No, we already went to Captain Sorensen's place and had a sandwich. Gosh, what's the name of that place? It's a burger shop that's right over there on Gaston Road. Anyway, we walk over there and get a bite to eat, and she's trying to eat her food, and hold on. She has to stop and just goes into that zone, and I'm trying to help and
is
rub
she
here
in just
and all that. Yes.
Misery.
Yes. Yes. She is miserable.
Dude.
So this goes on all afternoon, all through the evening, and damn near all night until we hit the 3 in the morning place again.
That's
here
incredible.
We are.
Yes. Now it's your birthday.
It is my birthday.
So we have zoomed past 48 hours now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Dude.
So here we are at the birthing center, and we... I'm sorry, this is Tuesday. This is my birthday,
yeah.
And the thing has already passed. So here we are Wednesday morning at 3 a.m., and this has been 72 hours since her water broke. 72
oh my
hours.
Goodness.
Of hard labor, being 48 of it at least. And at this point, they tell her, look, it's been 72 hours, and when your water breaks after 72 hours, there is a risk for infection for you and the baby. You're not having this baby here. And they transfer her to Baylor.
Oh, so after all this work,
yeah,
and all the buildup.
All the buildup.
And all the
videos.
This is the way I'm having the baby.
All the exercise, everything. They have to transfer us to the hospital.
Is she mortified?
Yeah, you have to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, yeah, boy. Yeah.
She was ready because,
right.
As she tells me to this day, she felt like after 72 hours of that kind of work and that kind of pain, that she felt at times like she was going to die.
Oh, my God, dude.
So we end up going to Baylor.
Woof.
I'm going to take a sip of water because this is difficult to talk about.
You're listening to Live Cover.
Thank you. So at this point, I wanted this for her so badly. I know how much she wanted to do a natural childbirth. So my heart is pretty broken at this point.
Yeah.
I'm really feeling badly for her, but I'm seeing the look on her face. And when she says, let's go.
Yeah.
I want to go to the hospital.
It's time.
My principles and my belief system is not more important than
the baby.
Not protecting this baby and then protecting me from an infection and getting me out of this pain where I feel like death would be better. It's that kind of pain. How it's described.
Did they tell you the percentage of cases like this?
It is very low for them to end up having to. It's well under 10%.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
This was pretty rare. It's a really, really long labor for her. Typically, like I said, first time moms, it's 16, 18, sometimes 24. You can go a little bit over that. But 72 is incredibly rare.
Yeah.
So we check into Baylor. And my God, what a great facility. I mean,
yeah.
Baylor has the L&D, labor and delivery. I'm in the know. I use the lingo. They have that thing down. And I'm telling you, there are so many doctors and so many nurses and so many residents that are in there, in and out, and it is clockwork. It's like a machine. They know what they're doing. The anesthesiologist is in there. He's got the epidural in. She's got relief within an hour of us being admitted.
Good.
Yes. Finally. Finally.
Yeah.
And our doctor, this guy comes in, and I swear to God, he looked like he was 17 years old. And I'm not saying that
just
because...
Hey, Dingo, how's it going?
Because I'm an old SOB. He looked 17 years old. I could almost think, well, maybe he's 31? Maybe
yeah.
He's 32? No, he looked like he was in flipping high school. But he was her doctor. We didn't see much of him. The rest of it was all residences and residents
yeah.
and nurses and nurses' assistants. And anyway, she gets the epidural, and we finally are able to get her to sleep a little bit at 5:30 in the morning, and she was able to crash out until about 9. So it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and they put her on a Pitocin drip, which is supposed to make those contractions
speeds
more intense,
yeah.
Speed up the opening of the cervix. So we're thinking this baby is coming at any time. And they go in to check her to see how far she's dilated. And the first time we went into the birthing center, she was at 3. And after all of this labor, all of the exercising, all of the drugs that they put her on, getting to sleep, getting to rest, they check her, and she is at 5.
God!
Oh.
Goodness. Halfway there. And this is at like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
Now, I want to say something about not only how great the experience was at Baylor, but Origins let one of their midwives
be there,
go with us. this is the hardest part for me to talk about, because this woman was our angel. There's no other way to describe it. Her name is Julie, and a little bit older than me. I would say she's maybe 65, 66, maybe younger, 60. But this lady came over with Audrey and me to the hospital. She stayed with us the entire time. She slept in a chair next to me. She was up with her. She held her hand. She told her what to do. She communicated with the doctors and the nurses that came in there on Audrey's behalf. She was our liaison. So Audrey kind of got to experience, in a way,
yeah,
that birthing center experience, that natural childbirth that she wanted to have because of the connection of this woman.
That sounds above and beyond.
It was above and beyond. She stayed with her the entire time.
Wow.
Yeah. So here we are, and we're nearing, you know, we don't know what to do. Because it's not like she can go do any exercise.
Is this Thursday?
This is Wednesday. This is Wednesday. So, yeah, okay. She's been laboring. So 3 plus 11 is 8. So she's been laboring now for about 80 hours.
To recap, labor began Sunday at 3 a.m.
Sunday morning at 3 a.m. We are now at about 11 o'clock on Wednesday.
Sir, that is insane.
It's insane. And at this point, you know, they're like, well, we're going to just let the drugs try to do their thing. And
was the word C-section mentioned at this point?
That's when the idea of C-section started being kicked around.
Yeah, I mean, our kid was C-sectioned. Van was, just because it was the time. They're like, we got to get this kid out.
Yeah.
There was a chance that the cord was wrapping around him, you know. I mean, it's just one of the, you're like, okay, go.
Yeah. Yeah. So at this point, you know, we're just kind of hanging around, and she's getting examined. They're coming in and doing the exam to check her dilation, see how that's progressing. And it gets to be, gosh, about 6 o'clock at night. Now, she feels pretty good. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, because she's on the epidural, there's no real pain. We're watching the contractions happen, and they're happening a freaking minute and a half apart. They're right on top of each other. They should be doing the job and opening this portal wide enough to get a flipping baby through
this magic portal.
Audrey is asking them, she wants anything but the C-section. She's asking them at one point, can you like stand me on my head so maybe we can detach the baby and then have him or her go back to where, you know, it's supposed to be? And they're like, ma'am, well, can I just walk to the bathroom? You don't have feeling in your legs. You can't walk. No, but they feel okay. No, you can't get out of bed. I'm sorry. This is the way it's
going to
be.
Going from natural childbirth to a C-section is like you're in the worst nightmare.
But, I would just applaud the conviction, though, because imagine the pain you've withstood, and yet you're still not moving off your original intent.
Yeah.
Like, it would take me about 30 minutes of pain before, like, you know, I'm tapping out.
I'm out.
Just do whatever.
Go
to get this. Yeah, please get this thing out of me.
Yeah. So the doctor, Doogie Howser, comes in, the young doctor comes in, and he starts talking about that. It's like, look, we're nearing that time where it's been, you know, 80 plus hours, 83, 84 hours since your water broke, and the risk for infection, it's not going away. Your heart rate is going up. This baby has been in labor for, you know,
forever.
Over 3 days now. The baby's heart rate is starting to go up a little bit. We're going to need to get this kid out of here pretty soon. And at that point, we're talking about it. We're like, you know, we have to do what we have to do, you know, that we got to make sure this baby's okay and get this little guy, little girl out of there. And at that point, it's probably around 6:30 in the evening on Wednesday. And she's like, she asks to be alone. And they told her, it's like, look, we need to go ahead and prepare you for this. And she tells the doctor, she says, look, can I have an hour? Can I have 2 more hours, please? And he's like, you know what? I'm going to give you that time. I've got to go perform another C-section. I've got to go to ER right now, or the operating room, because it's freaking major surgery.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go do this other procedure, and I'm going to check back in on you. And at that point, she had gone to 6. So, but nowhere near.
Yeah.
6 centimeters, you got to be at 10 to get that baby out. And at that point, it's, you know, 6:15. And she asks everybody to leave the room. And the midwife and I, we go outside to get some air because we're exhausted. You know, yeah. But we're not sleeping either. So I'm out there talking to the midwife, Julie, and I'm asking her, it's like, hey, what's this going to be like? You know, what is the C-section like? I mean, what's the recovery time? How much pain is she going to be in? What's the risk to the baby? And the midwife, she wasn't always a midwife. She worked in labor and delivery for like 30 years. So she knows the difference between the natural childbirth and the hospital game.
Yeah.
So she speaks all that language and knows everything. And God, I cannot stress to you how integral she was in such a part of this process as she was. So we're standing outside and it's, you know, really nice. It's getting late in the evening and my phone rings and it's Audrey. And I'm like, what? Why is she calling me? So I pick up the phone and I go, hey, what's going on? And she goes, the doctor came back in to check on me. And I'm thinking, well, here we go. We got to go to the ER right now. She goes, I'm at 10 centimeters and we're going to push.
Oh, God. So did you just haul ass?
I thought she was kidding. I go, really? I go, you're kidding, right? She goes, I'm not kidding. I'm at 10 centimeters and we're going to push. I told her I'll be there in 2 seconds. And I tell the midwife that. And I'm also texting her family. That's another part of this process.
Yeah.
You've got to communicate with everybody that's close to her and you about all of the details.
Better world when you didn't have to do any of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, phones, no anything.
Hey, you'll know when we're home.
And, and the first 72 hours when I'm with her and hands-on, I don't have time to communicate with everybody. There was one text message that took me 4 contractions to complete, which was only about 20 words long. Because I get, yes, everything is going, hold on.
He's gauging time and contractions now.
Seriously. So she says she's going to push. And we go back inside, and there she is. And it is an energy in the room. It is unbelievable. Our doctor is doing another procedure, and he comes in, and it's us. It's me, the midwife, Audrey, a couple of residents, and a nurse. And the doctor, the guy doctor comes in and says, well, looks like you're at 10 centimeters. That's great. Now, look, I don't want you to get your hopes up or anything, because this pushing process can possibly, for some people, and also considering how long your labor's been, this could take 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
And it may not happen at all. So he leaves the room to let these ladies prepare to bring this baby into the world. And before I know it, there's 6, 7, 8, all women. I'm the only dude in the room. And it is time,
ladies.
And I'm going to tell you what happened.
Ferris Bueller.
When they told her to push next.
All right, it's 6:15, or actually, no. Look how on time we are. Man,
since Danny's been back, we've really been staying on time.
Yeah, it's a formatically sound show again. That's incredible. Sponsors here.
Airstream of DFW and Twin Peaks.
Okay, so this is a record-breaking pig pen because of the record-breaking labor that we are hearing about. So, to briefly recap, Danny. Yep.
Would you like for me to?
Please. Okay. I think it's best for all involved to hear how we got to this point of the story.
Okay, my girlfriend and I had a baby. That's why I was gone for 8 days. And she went into labor at 3 a.m. A week and a half ago, Sunday, early Sunday morning. We fast forward to 72 hours later of her getting transferred from the all-natural birthing center to Baylor Hospital because she cannot go longer than 72 hours without being monitored by
a doctor.
And here we are laboring in the hospital, and we're finally getting to the point where they tell her she's going to need a C-section. She asks, and by the way, here we are at probably 85, 86, 87 hours since her water broke.
Gracious.
And they tell her that she's probably going to have a C-section. She asks the doctor, can I please just have 1 or 2 more hours to allow this cervix to open up from 6 centimeters to 10?
And it worked.
She did it by herself. It was weird. We left the room, me and the midwife that traveled with us from Origins and stayed with us the whole time. We went outside and we're talking, and I get the phone call from Audrey that, hey, I'm at 10 centimeters and we're going to do this. So here we are. We go back inside, to the delivery room, which is the room that she was in, the room that I'd spent, you know, two nights in, or one night at that point. And they're assembling the team. And they're, like I told you before, there's an energy in the room. They're people are excited. And one of the, and like I said, all the medical staff, including the midwife and Audrey, all girls. I'm the only dude in there, which was really cool to see these ladies.
Right.
Just kind of, there's something about these women when they get together, and when you're talking about having a baby, it's a singular experience that only a woman can understand.
Relate.
Only a woman will ever have. No man will ever be able to be part of that club. It's impossible. So when you get these women together and it's just them working together, it's like ants.
Right.
You know, bringing home a stick.
Now, are you wearing
it's crazy.
Full hat?
No, I'm wearing what I'm wearing now.
Oh, you're not having to wear the hospital garb or anything?
No. I would have had she had to go to operating room to get the C-section. But no, we're in the room that they admitted her in, and they just pull out a couple of things and let's go.
Yeah.
So here we are. I think we're
after all that.
At 90 hours of labor at this point. I think she, and all said and done, 91 hours is what we calculated. And she starts pushing. And after the first push, you see the head. I'll be damned if that girl didn't will herself in 1 hour to go from 6 centimeters to 10, but she pushed out that baby in less than 8 minutes in 4 tries.
Oh my God.
4 pushes, that baby came out.
How big was the baby?
The baby?
Was he?
Well, first of all, the baby comes out and.
Because you guys didn't find out the sex.
We did not find out the sex.
Yes.
We had no idea. And I looked down, and the way the baby's legs were and the way they were holding it, and they hand it right to us. This wasn't like cut the cord and run off to another room.
Yeah.
They put the baby basically right on her chest, and she's holding the little one. And I first looked down, I was like, oh my God, it's a girl, which kind of secretly I wanted a girl. So I thought it'd be kind of fun.
You got a boy.
You know? Yeah, but still, I don't know. All this girl dad stuff with you guys has kind of got me, I want to be part of that. But I'm fine with whatever. And then I saw the thing, and I'm like, what? It's a boy.
Yeah.
And yes, we have a brand new baby, little baby boy.
Yeah.
Yay!
And she's holding him, and we let the cord do its work, and you know they get all the stuff out of there for the baby to have the maximum amount of nutrients. And I did cut the cord.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, dude, it was like it was like calamari. You know,
yeah.
It was a lot rougher.
Yeah,
a lot tougher than I thought. I thought it was just gonna snip right through, but I'm like having a on this thing, right,
dude?
Yeah. So
you were like deputized medical.
Not,
he's
you're
the closest
not
thing
close.
We have to a doctor.
Like
right
you're
now.
Saying, you saw the head, and that
oh,
means
yeah, man. I'm
that
right
means
there.
You did not honor the stay north of the equator edict that I was filed with in several trips to the delivery room. Always north of the equator.
No way. I was south of the border, brother. I mean,
wow.
that's what got us there. I might as well.
I don't think you understand how
the little guy weighed in at 7'14", tall, 21 3/4 inches. He's skinny.
I thought
course.
He'd be like a big old, just because he was in there for so long.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't want to get out of here. I'm a big old baby.
Yeah. No, and in all actuality, he was delivered the day after my birthday. The original due date was my birthday. So
which would have been
he
cool.
He was right on time, and it's a good, strong, healthy baby. We named him Malcolm Lewis. Lewis was her deceased grandfather, her dad's dad. And Malcolm, I thought it sounded good with Lewis because it either sounded real like Irish white trash or like a 60s civil rights leader.
Yeah, so Malcolm was, and I told Danny this, was second on our list with Ike. It was Ike and then Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, when you told him, I was like, oh, no way. That's awesome.
And
that
my
so
buddy
cool.
Jess, that was one of the names in him and Ashley's pile was Malcolm.
Nice.
Really? They went with Liam, yeah. But little Malcolm was born at 7:47 on Wednesday evening after sweet Audrey endured one of the most incredible... incredible experiences. It's the singular most incredible experience you can ever imagine. Obviously, the birth of a child, but witnessing the endurance, the strength, the will of this woman to go through what she went through and endure 3 days of unimaginable pain that Dude. None of us will ever experience for that elongated period of time. And then to be faced with a surgery, a major surgery, to bring her baby into the world, and just with her mind
right.
to will
she
herself.
She Jedi's the baby.
She Jedi's her opening to 10 centimeters and then pushes the little fart out in 8 minutes.
Yeah.
If you will.
I mean, she's a gangster. I could not believe it. And I told her, it's like, I just got a front row ticket to see not only the birth of my kid being born, but to watch one of the greatest exhibits of human will and strength that I'll ever see.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you can bring it back to sports, and we've seen a lot of incredible sports feats. But in the world, if baby making or delivering a baby or having a baby was a sport, that girl won the freaking Larry O'Brien past weekend.
And like, you know, people talk about the miracle of childbirth, and I've said it a million times. There's 7 billion people on the planet and animals and everybody else. There's no miracle in birthing anything.
Yeah, it happens every day, all day long.
But that style... she deserves a blue ribbon for that one, man. That's freaking nuts.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. And now we had to stay in the hospital for, I think, 2.5 more days.
Yeah. Whoa.
Just because the baby
was late.
The baby was super late or the baby had, been exposed to the membrane being, ruptured for much longer than 72 hours. So they have to make sure that he doesn't have any type of infection. So they did a blood culture, and they want to make sure that 48 hours after the blood culture is taken, that it shows no sign of any infection. But the baby, Malcolm, and mom, Audrey, are perfectly fine. He's getting acclimated, you know, with life outside of the womb, which is, you know, real tough on little ones like that, especially when they've gone through such a traumatic labor, an elongated labor like that. I mean, that affects the little one as well. You know, all those contractions just over and over and over for almost 4 days. It's a lot. It's a lot for the little guy to handle.
Y'all got home on
Saturday afternoon.
Has he been sleeping okay and all that? Like back up and down?
They want him to eat every 2 to 3 hours. Oh, yeah. So, you know, for the first couple of weeks, it's that. Sure. But he's finally figuring it out. His little digestive system, which he's just learning how to use because they don't use it for 9 months in the womb, and then they pop out and they're expected to just be, you know,
humans
all of a sudden. So he's had some problems with the gas pains, but we're figuring out what his signs are and how to position, what positions work best for him. And, you know, she's breastfeeding and so that's good times. I like watching that.
Have you had the pump yet? Has she had pump?
Yeah, she brought home the kid, and the next day she's got milk pumped in the fridge and says, hey, will you feed him? I'm going to Target. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's Superwoman. I mean, she's going to freaking Target.
Man, I'll never
walking around after having a baby and being in labor for 4 days.
I'll never forget that noise that pump makes. Like, it's just, and I'm sure the technology has changed in the last decade, but it's just like, oh, God, she's in there pumping again. Like, it's just...
It's just hot.
And
the breast
again,
pump is hot.
No, you realize... Look. You realize... The functionality of the, oh, God, look at her, she's so hot. No, those are weapons for food.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
That's all they are.
And that's how, I mean, I'm sure the kid loves to be held and nurturing and loved, but he sees me as the guy that has whiskers on his face, and she's a refrigerator.
Exactly.
What's
for
dinner tonight? Oh, more
Where's
of
she?
That. Yes.
Yeah. You're cool, Dingu, but give me her.
it's funny. I went in during a break, and Mino said all of the pain that Audrey went through. It's kind of, he goes, he can relate because it's what he experienced with 8 days with Sam Hale.
I didn't say that. You're making that up.
Are you sure?
You're making that up.
Like, only Mino.
Only Mino can understand childbirth.
Yeah.
Mino kept asking about you.
Dude.
Mino was really worried about you.
So at what point did you get over the shock, the initial shock of I'm going to have a baby?
Call me in a year. I'm still in shock.
Yeah,
dude, it's surreal, and it all happens so quickly because it's not like life stops can't just put the baby on pause, man. It moves fast, and then next thing you know, you're at home, and the kid lives in your house,
I know.
And and you're doing all this stuff.
Did you have the, did any of y'all have the,
man.
Like you bring the kid home from the hospital and we sat him in his little car seat, you know, yeah. you take him out of the car and you set the kid down like on a coffee table or something and he's sleeping and I'll never forget this. He's just sitting there and I'm looking at Julie and she's kind of looking at the kid and dog walks over and is sniffing around, you know, and,
yeah.
and then I'm like, what do we do? Like what?
Yeah. What do you do?
What do you do? Like it's just there. Do you want something? Do you like CSI? Like, what do you do?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The dog thing was really funny because we have two dogs. I have a pit bull named Geraldine, and Audrey has a German Shepherd named Annabelle. We call her Annie. And I did get to sneak off a couple of times from the hospital to pick some things up because obviously plans change. We're in the hospital now. We need to do some different stuff. And then there was the whole story about the guy that was walking our dogs for us ends up adopting a pit bull,
another dog.
Living in our backyard. So I go in and check on that, and that's a whole nother. That's next week's pig pen.
Yeah.
The random adoption of a pit bull while you're in labor with your girlfriend in the hospital.
Jeez, dude.
But yeah, I was able to go home, and it was amazing, man. When I walked in the house for the first time after not seeing them for like 4 days, 3 days. They were all over me, buried in my clothes, sniffing. They knew.
Oh, yeah.
They knew that it was, okay, this is part of the family, but what is it?
Right.
And where is it?
Something's not right, but it is right.
Something's weird. But, I mean, Geraldine, her nose did not leave sniffing me for like 3 or 4 minutes. She was so curious. And when we got the baby home, the German Shepherd, we need to change her name from Annie to Nanny because that's what she is. She is on
like
guard.
Standing guard.
Standing guard, checking on the baby. If the baby's crying, Annie comes back to the bedroom to look in there to make sure we're not killing the baby.
Right.
It's
what are you
awesome.
Doing to my baby?
It is insane to see the instincts of a German Shepherd.
That is
with an infant.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Huh.
He'll be in his little, you know, little swing and she'll just walk over there and stare at him and then lick him on the face and take his pacifier out.
Yeah.
You know? Where Geraldine is more like, can this bro bring me treats?
Yeah.
You know, then I really have very little use for him.
Yeah, it's like the baby with you compared to Audrey. That's
pretty
the
much.
Way that the dog
the pit
is.
Bull is.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
you know,
whatever.
Yeah, you're not doing
just as
me
long
any
as
service.
You don't take anything away from my world as I've constructed it over
yeah.
my 2 years. Been here a little longer than you, bro.
Yeah.
So don't think that you know you're going to be taking my stuff.
It is weird to watch that because the dogs, they know the pecking order. Has changed. Like
absolutely.
They figure that out so quickly that wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm everything to you. Mm-hmm. I am you.
How does this affect
me? And then
me?
Suddenly there's this little S head over there and you're like but they know. They figure it out so quickly like, well, that's the way it is, but you still got food, right?
Yeah.
All right, kick ass.
Yeah.
So your head's spinning?
Man, it's calmed down quite a bit. The baby's actually sleeping a little bit through the night. Not through the night, but, you know, a good block of time to where we're figuring it out. Figuring
yeah.
out our schedule and how, okay, if you go to bed at this time, then I'll be up and I can feed him, you know, I'll feed him from the bottle, from the pumped breast milk at this hour, and then I'll get a couple hours. And it's finally settled. I mean, dude, we've only been home.
A couple days.
Yeah, 3 days, 4 days.
Ty, you missed this?
Hmm. You ready to do it again, bud?
Yeah.
The COVID baby pool.
I'm telling you, man.
We could have won a lot of money on this one.
Yeah.
There's something about it. These are the new baby boomers. I'm telling you. The 2020 babies.
That's what I said. And I think it's going to be, I think it's a 2-year thing. Because I think that there's situations like you guys.
Yeah.
That you had, you got pregnant during the lockdown, basically,
yeah.
back a year ago. Or it's the opening of America, and it's the one-night stand baby or, you know, like hooking up baby. Like,
true.
I think it's all going to add up that, because I think we've got a population decrease as far as the number of babies being born in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And I think that market, that will be corrected in the next year and a half or 2 years.
Well, I'm glad to have done my part.
You did. You really did. You really did. Well, congratulations.
You're a leader in that way.
I can't wait to get home. You know, it's that now.
And that kid, I swear to God, because Audrey, she'll beat him down with that story. Do you know how long you were in me and I couldn't get out rid of you? And all right, Mom, I get it.
I've told this story, maybe not at
that's
length.
A heartwarming
yeah.
scenario
yeah.
you just
yeah.
painted.
Yeah. I've told this story not at this length, you know, but I can't imagine getting tired of telling this story because it is a great, great story. And I'll be damned, every single time I mention Julie, the midwife,
you choked up,
my eyes just fill. It's amazing. I cannot mention her name and how important she was to this process without me
crying. I think doctors come and go and things like that, and you may remember them for whatever reason, but situations like that where someone is that close
to... It was a connection.
Yeah. You'll
for sure.
never forget that.
Shout out to Julie.
Absolutely. And thank you, Origins, and thank you, Baylor.
Yeah. And I guess go, you're rooting for Baylor then in the Final Four.
Hell yes.
Yeah, all Baylor now.
Go Bears.
It was green. All right, thanks, man. Congratulations. Let's do Sturm Center next. Cowboys.